The Torah tells us in Parsha Shlach, at the end of the Parsha, the story of the Mekoshesh Eitzim, the gatherer of wood. Vayu b'nei Yisrael, b'amidbar, vayemsu ish Mekoshesh Eitzim b'yom HaShabbos. The first Mechalel Shabbos in Jewish history. This person was gathering the wood, and they brought him, they brought him out to Moshe, they put him in jail, and Moshe said, most you must, we're going out, that one who violates the Shabbos is liable to the death penalty. Moshe. So, this by reading the Psukim in the Chumash, we see the Mekoshesh Eitzim is the first desecrator of Shabbos in Jewish history, and the impression is of this person, he's a big, must be a very vicious Russia, wicked person to go ahead and desecrate the Shabbos, the Dor HaMidbar. And yet, when we look at the Torah Shabbat Peh, when we look into our oral tradition, we see a totally different point of view of the Mekoshesh Eitzim. So, Tosis points out that really, based on the Midrash, really this person was a tzaddik. But he was a tzaddik. He really wanted to save Klal Yisrael. Save Klal Yisrael by desecrating Shabbos. How does that work? So Tosis explains from the Smichos HaParshias, what just happened, the story of the spies. And the Jews were rejected now, and people thought, that's it. The Torah doesn't apply anymore. It's null and void. And the Mekoshes wanted to show people, no, Shabbos is still enforced. The Torah given to Moshe still applies, and he went ahead and he desecrated the Shabbos. So we see in Torah Shabbat Peh, Torah Shabbat Ksav makes this person into a Rasha, this person in the Dor HaMidbar, goes ahead and desecrates the Shabbos. He's Mekoshesh Eitzim, gathering the wood, some type of malacha on Shabbos, different opinions on what it was. And the Torah Shabbat Peh gives us a whole different story, that this person really had good intention. So two things. Number one is, it's true he had good intentions, but there are many ways to educate people. Maybe they wouldn't have the same impact, but how about adult education? How about taking some Kiruv classes, speaking about Shabbos? Isn't there some better way? Isn't there a mitzvah baba vera? Isn't there a better way? How is the Yilat HaMachal Shabbos to teach this lesson? So the Marsha, others point out that really, this person really wasn't Mechal Shabbos, when he wasn't Mechal Shabbos. I thought he was gathering wood or whatever he was doing. So the commentators explain, to desecrate Shabbos on the Torah level, you have to do things the way it was done in the Mishkan. The 39 prohibited activities stem from the way it was done in the Mishkan. And therefore, one of the requirements are, you need a davar hamitzchaven, you need something which you have kavana for, and it has to be a malacha tzricha gufa. In other words, the classical case in the midbar, if I'm, let's say, carrying, because I want something's in place A, I carry it because I want it in place B. But as the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, if you have a dead body in your house, and you want to get rid of it, you don't care where it goes, you just want it out of your house, that'd be a malacha she'ina tzrich l'gufa. And the way we pass it, it's only a rabbinic prohibition. So really, what happened, let's assume it was Hotzah. So really, he didn't violate the Issur d'oraisa, because the biblical prohibition of Hotzah is carrying because you want something from one place to another. Here he was carrying to teach a lesson. So really, it was only a malacha she'ina tzricha l'gufa, it was only a malacha which wasn't done on Shabbos. It wasn't a malacha done the way it was done in the Mishkan. Hence, it's not a biblical prohibition. It's only a rabbinical prohibition. And obviously, at that point in Jewish history, there were no rabbinical prohibitions. So really, what he did was heter gomer, 100% permitted. There was no chilul Shabbos at all. And then they point out that, what about, okay, so true, so let's say it wasn't Mechal Shabbos, but they didn't know that. The witnesses said, don't Mechal Shabbos, do you know what you're doing, you know the punishment, and he seemed to say he knows everything. So he knew he was going to be killed, so it's true he didn't desecrate Shabbos, but there's another strict prohibition of the Torah not to commit suicide. So if he knew he was going to be killed, so isn't that tantamount to suicide? As we know, generally speaking, it's v'chai v'hem, you have to live by it. Save the big three, you save the big three, you don't have to give up your life for it. The big three, meaning if someone puts a gun to your head and says, don't worship idols, don't commit adultery, don't murder someone, you have to give up your life for it. But everything else is v'chai b'hem. So how can he go ahead and desecrate the Shabbos knowing that they're going to kill him? There's a prohibition of suicide. So in general, there's a machlokas rishonim, the Rambam and the Bali Tosfos. On the three mitzvahs, you're obligated to give up your life. What about on shar averas? Let's say, I can't eat treif. I don't want a mechal Shabbos. Can I give up my life if someone wants me to have mechal Shabbos or eat treif? So the Rambam writes, no. Areisem is chayev v'nafsho. If you don't have to commit suicide, it's usher to. And the Bali Tosfos says no. Of course, it's not an ideal situation, but we never force you to do an avera, something of eating treif or being mechal Shabbos. If you want to give up your life for it, you have that option. So even according to the Rambam, the Nemukah Yosef, others point out that even the Rambam would agree under certain situations one is permitted to give up their life. And one is, let's say, if the Gadol Hador or one of the Gedolim, one of the Rabbanim see that they have to make a stand. Let's say Chilul Shabbos is rampant, or the Gemara talks about someone who was trying to just ride a horse on Shabbos to make a mockery out of the laws, that, look, I'm not desecrating Shabbos, etc. The Gemara talks about Makid Ba'onshin Shalom and Adin. Based on his ability to, in order to enforce the law, they can tell you, they can give you an onus, they give you a punishment on something, even stronger than it normally would be. So, Makid Ba'onshin Shalom and Adin. So they point out that over here, Klai Yisrael was in danger. There'd be no more Klai Yisrael. What would happen? Look, if at the end of Klai Yisrael, people thought the Torah wasn't okay anymore, and therefore, even the Rambam would agree in a situation where you could save Klai Yisrael, and the Torah would be forgotten when it's permitted to give up their life al Kiddush Hashem. It's like an Eis Lasos. And that's what they point out. That's what they point out, even the Rambam would agree. And in fact, now we understand something else. So from the Torah Shabbat, this person looks like a Rasha, a vicious Rasha, the first desecrator of Shabbos in Jewish history. However, if we go through the Torah Shabbat, this person's not a Rasha, but he's a Tzaddik. And in fact, that's why we can understand another Gemara. The Gemara says, I think it was one of the rabbis was revealing this. You know who the Mekoshesh Eitzim was? He says the Mekoshesh Eitzim was good old Tzrafcha. You know, we all know the daughters of Tzrafcha became famous. So Tzrafcha, he was the Mekoshesh Eitzim. That's why they didn't have Avino. That's what they point out. Avinu meis b'midbar. He died in the midbar, and not from other means. Therefore, a ways of them getting the Yerusha. But anyway, they point out that he. So one of the rabbis said, "What are you doing? Lashon hara. How could you go ahead? We learned from Bahaloska, the end of the parasha, Miriam speaking Lashon hara Moshe. So how could it? So how could someone reveal who it is?" So apparently we see, obviously the rabbi, I think it was Rabbi Akiva, was obviously of the opinion that the Mekoshesh Eishim was Tzlafcha, and he was a tzaddik, and therefore Rabbi Akiva was able not only are you allowed to, but it's a mitzvah to mefarsim someone, it's a mitzvah to publicizing someone who's doing a mitzvah. And in fact, that's what they point out. That's why it says Vayuvan Yisrael b'Midbar. Why they? Well, we know where they are. They've been in the Midbar all this time. So b'Midbar, because that gets into the whole discussion of the status of the Midbar, whether it was Shusha Rabim or not. So that ties into the issue whether in terms of Schofka carrying or not. But the point being is, we see the Koach of Torah Shabbat Peh, that the Torah itself talks. Doesn't say it, but he's the first Mechal Shabbos, seems to be a very evil individual, and the bottom line is no, really this person's a tzaddik, it's schafchad, and that's what we see, that when we learn the parshas, we have to learn it through Torah Shabbat Peh, and that's, in fact, that's how the Torah begins. Bereishis bara Elokim, God, literally the beginning created God, but of course it should have been Elokim Barba Horatius. So, the Rashi in the beginning of Horatius, where does Rashi write? So Rashi writes, Horatius Barra, Eina Mikra. Eina Mikra Haseh Ela Darshuni. This pasuk is taking, you have to make a drush, in other words, there are four levels. It's pardes, there's an orchard which it stands for. Pei is the pshat, is the simple reading of the pasuk. Reish rem is an illusion. Dalet is drush, homiletics, and so it is secret Kabbalah. So why would the Torah begin a pasuk that you can't even read the simple explanation? The simple explanation, in fact, is the opposite. Bereishis bara Elokim, the beginning created God. That's heresy. Comes along, the Torah of and says, no, ein makir ela darshuni, no. It doesn't mean that. It means God created the world. It's like the Mekoshesh Eitzim on the Torah Shabbat itself. It looks like it was Mechal Shabbos. And he's Russia, but the Torah Shabbat Peh gives us the real score. But that's what it says, the same thing here, the Koach of Torah Shabbat Peh, that it's telling me that when you open up Bereishis, since it's a bunch of stories, you might think, you know what, I'll just go ahead and just say over my own Pshatim and make up my own stuff. Eina Mikrazilah Darshuni, the Torah specifically begins with Bereishis, Baruch Hakim, to tell me that when you learn the Torah Shavuksav, you need a Torah Shabbat Peh. And that's the same way. We can't learn the story of the Mekoshesh Eitzim without looking into our oral tradition about the Mekoshesh Eitzim, who is Schafchad.